Welcome to PM Lessons Learned, a podcast for project managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Increase your PM knowledge, build business relationships, increase your effectiveness, increase your marketability, gain professional support. Join our group and take part in our conference calls. Details at pmlessonslearned.com.
Everyone, welcome to another lesson conference call for PMLessons.com. This is the PM Job Shop call. My name is Scott Percival, and we're all about project managers helping project managers. We have three monthly calls. The first Thursday of the month, we have the people studying for the PMP call. The second Thursday of each month, we have the PM Job Shop call. And then the third Thursday of each month, we have the PM Best Practices call.
You have enough minutes to start on that?
I'd like to welcome everybody on the call tonight and apologize for the problems they're having getting on the call. I did have a problem myself, so I know that it's real. But welcome anyway. I'm glad you can make it. Tonight, we're going to have a very interesting call. Bernadette is going to share her experiences with LinkedIn and how to make your profile better. And Carl's going to do the dirty work for me and do all the questions, and hopefully we'll have a lively conference call. I do want to encourage you, the more you get yourself out there, the more you can make yourself seen as a leader, the better off you're going to be, the faster you're going to find a job. And even if you have the job, that's the way you're going to promote yourself. So with that being said, Carl, why don't you introduce Bernadette and take it away.
Thank you, Scott. Before we get started, though, I know that you've been on the call coordinating it, I think, for over a year now, and just wanted to say thank you to you for all that you do in coordinating things. And I know you have a busy schedule, and it's great that you stepped up over the year or so in doing this. And just want to say thank you for doing that and allowing me to be honored. Starting to work with you as the new kid on the block.
Well, thank you
Everybody,
very much.
You're in for a real treat tonight. Our top topic for tonight is going to be storytelling about the brand called You on LinkedIn. And it's really timely. Companies are doing business differently these days. They're cutting back on expenses, and recruiting companies are being put in a different position. And so, therefore, part of that process with looking for opportunities, looking for jobs, some of the onus is on us now to position ourselves a little better. And the question becomes, how do you attract yourself? We want to be where the target market is in terms of potential clients and employers. And LinkedIn is the place that recruiters, decision makers, hiring managers, HR professionals are hanging out to acquire talent. And our topic talks about answers questions that we're going to cover, such as what's your online and offline story using your LinkedIn profile? Is it compelling, captivating? Does it message the brand call you to your target in a compelling way? Why is your LinkedIn profile important? And how do you tell your story in summary? And our guest speaker for this evening, Bernadette Martin, is the author of Storytelling About Your Brand Online and Offline. She's the founder of Visibility Branding and a certified personal brand strategist, as well as a speaker. And she's expertly fusing personal branding with storytelling. She helps individuals such as executives, professionals, entrepreneurs, consultants, artists, and students to strengthen their brand both online and offline in a compelling way to their target. Following an MBA and a 15-year international career working with Fortune 500 corporate brands in Asia, the United States, and Europe, Bernadette's transition to personal brands, it was very natural. It meshed perfectly with her intuitive nature, entrepreneurial spirit, and desire to work virtually and live in the two cities that inspire her most, Paris and Seattle. Ever enthusiastic about optimizing the power of Web 2.0 technology to support her virtuosity, she works with clients around the world conducting online webinars, interview training on career development, personal branding, and storytelling. So be ready with genuine interest, Bernadette asks you, so what's your story? Thank you so much, Ben Bernadette, for joining us this evening. And Bernadette's dialed all the way in from across the Atlantic in Paris. It's a little later over there, and we certainly appreciate your time and spending some time with us to share your knowledge with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Yes, so evening, Shay, most of you, and here it's early morning on Friday, but I'm glad to join your call today. And thanks for that introduction. So we will, during the presentation, we can go on to LinkedIn, and I'll take you on a tour and highlight some of the key areas that have to do with the call. So, yes. Looks like we have quite a few more people.
I'm going to get rid of the tones.
Okay.
Go right.
You keep talking.
Is it best that we follow along in our own LinkedIn, or are we going to be viewing your screen? Or?
Yeah, actually, we'll kind of have a few questions to set up the call, and then we'll go on to LinkedIn. But first, I wanted to establish the power of storytelling, and then kind of transition into what is personal branding, and then how to fuse those two on your LinkedIn profile. So the impact of storytelling is amazing. In fact, anthropologists believe that 75% of lessons learned are actually through stories. And it's because, stories, they combine facts, figures, and details with emotions and colors and imagery. And also they create synapses between the left and right halves of your brain. So it makes stories memorable. And in fact, there's recent neurological research that points to the fact that our brains are actually kind of wired to absorb information as stories because we absorb that information in chunks, and it's easier to process and store. In fact, they even came up with a term for it, which is called event structure perception. And that's, it's this whole idea how our brains are wired for storytelling. But more importantly, it helps us to connect emotionally with another person. So, having established the power of storytelling, then the idea of personal branding, and maybe since I guess all of the lines are open, we can make this interactive. But I'd like to, ask you what your definition is of a brand in general, or what is a brand? If any of you would like to contribute a definition.
Maybe I could start off, Bernadette, and I'll use myself as the first go around. I mean, I think of myself in terms of when I look at a commercial, similar to looking at a commercial on TV. When someone thinks of, say, Carl Reed, or social media, or technology project management. Those are terms that when you think of those keywords or phrases, when they come up, that you think of that particular either company, but in our instance, we're talking about, how people perceive each person and how that person stands out from others when they mention certain types of words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Anyone else want to? Yes, please.
All right, this is Scott. I tend to think that everything that you say and you do is your brand.
Mm-hmm.
If I walked into your office and your desk is neat and organized, that says something about you. If you have stuff, thrown all about, that says something about you. If your mouth is full with a bunch of curse words, that says something about you. And all these things make impressions. If you show up with all tattered clothes, that says something about you. If you take somebody out to lunch and your car has cookie crumbs all over it, that says something about you. Or, for that matter, if your car, you take somebody out to lunch and you have a car seat in the back, that says something about you. So everything that you say and do, I think, is your brand, is your image. Are you grumpy? Are you happy? Are you positive? Are you negative? I think that's what I would like to add to that.
Yes, that actually is a good kind of segue transition into my definition of what a brand is, which can be, you know, a product, place, a company, a service, association, a person. So, you know, the Eiffel Tower is a brand. Each of you are a brand. Your association is a brand. Products and services obviously are. But a brand can be all of those things, but it's an intangible image or perception, and it's created by a unique like accumulation, and this is, Scott, where it plays nicely into what you just mentioned, which is a unique bundle or accumulation of emotional, rational, and sensory experiences, or I call them touch points. So all of those things that you mentioned are actually touch points that create this image or perception in a person's mind. So if you apply it to a product or service, say, you know, Starbucks, for example, all of the touch points that you have with the Starbucks brand would be, you know, the smell, the taste, the product, the physical location, you know, when you walk into a Starbucks, even the music is all orchestrated. So those are all touch points that create this image or perception. And for people, it's the same way. So everything that Scott mentioned as well. And it also includes your resume, your LinkedIn profile, the way you interview. I mean, even down to not only the type of phone that you have, but also your message, the message that you leave on your phone. A lot of people, they don't often listen to their own message, but that says a lot about you as well. You know, is it professional sounding? Are there, you know, kids crying in the background? And your environment as well, your work environment and what you wear. So all of these touch points, whether they're rational, sensory, or emotional, create this image or perception, which, and when you think of, you know, with companies, it's worth, you know, a certain amount. When there's mergers and acquisitions, lots of time the amount placed on the brand could be more than the physical assets. So it's amazing, this concept of something intangible that plays out. So when you think of strong brands, and, you know, the list, IBM, Google, Microsoft, McDonald's, you know, what makes these brands strong? Well, there's three words, clarity, consistency, and constancy. Those are strong brands are, you know, clear in what their message is. They're consistent across all touch points, and they're constantly in front of their target. They did a study in the States where they identified, you know, roughly speaking, how many times the average American sees the Coca-Cola logo during the course of a day, and it was something like 20 times. You know, whether it's, you know, trash on the floor or a vending machine or the actual product, but you know, strong brands are consistent, clear, and constantly in front of their target. So how does this apply to the brand called You and your online and offline identity? Well, it's important to be clear, consistent, and constantly in front of your target, both online and offline. And when I talk about your kind of digital ID or your digital image. Now, you know, with the internet and such, and like Carl made reference to it, you know, headhunters and recruiters and partners, investors, I mean, everyone's Googling each other. And in advance of the call, did anyone, have any of you Googled yourself lately, and have you identified where your LinkedIn profile pops up?
It's funny you should mention that, Bernadette, because I sometimes when I catch up with people, I haven't spoken to them in a while, and I'm at a point where I make a joke out of it, and they say, "Hey, Carl, what have you been up to?" And I've been working on a lot of things with an online presence, and I say I could tell you a bunch of things I've been working on, but you could Google my name, and you'll get about 5 pages worth of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if anyone on the call wants to volunteer their name, I could Google you, and we could pull up we could all Google this particular person and pull up their LinkedIn profile. Does anyone want to offer?
Well, I think if you type in their name, it will come up on the free site.
Okay. Now, can you, just to be clear, can you all see my screen? Do you see Carl's LinkedIn profile? Or what do you see on your screen?
I see Carl's profile.
Oh, you do. Okay. Okay.
I actually used to Google myself pretty frequently, and I don't ever recall my LinkedIn profile popping up, but I actually just Googled myself now, and it did. So,
What is your name? Can we use you as an example?
Sure. Mine's going to be a really good example of how not to be on LinkedIn, but sure.
But what if you Google yourself and you don't exist?
Well,
I just did
yes.
first ever, and I don't exist, apparently.
Uh-huh.
To the top
well,
10.
Actually, that's not a bad thing. There is a Google quotient link that I can send you after the call, and that's where you put in three statistics, and you identify what your Google quotient is.
Oh.
And it just takes a minute or two. But basically, it's based on three statistics. So first, you Google yourself, and it's really important when you Google yourself to put your name in quotations.
Oh.
And you hit enter, you hit return. And then there's three figures to find out your Google quotient. And the first one is how many results come up with your name, which may not be you, but it's your name. And then the second figure is how many of on the first three pages apply to you, or actually you. And then the third figure is how many that apply to you are on brand for you. In other words, they are indicative or represent, how you want to present yourself. So, in other words, if there's any digital dirt in the results, that doesn't count. So you plug in those three numbers, and you find out if you're digitally dead, or distinct, or dabbling. Now, if you're dead or non-existent on Google, that's not such a bad thing. It only means that that's your baseline, and from there you can start a strategy to raise your Google juice, so to speak. So if you don't exist on Google, not to fear, but if your target's on going to be searching for you online or on LinkedIn, then that's where you want to be. So I was talking with I had a presentation the other day to the 40 executives, and one in particular was like, "Well, I don't want to be on LinkedIn or have a presence." And I said, "Well, that's fine. You don't have to be on LinkedIn. It's only if depends on your goals and your direction and who your target is. But if your target is going to be looking for you online, then it's important to consider your online presence. And for people who are on LinkedIn, because there's now over 80 million people on LinkedIn, so it's an amazing platform. And it has restrictions. I keep up to speed on the new features and applications, not only for myself but for my clients as well. And more and more they're adding features so that you can really message your brand and also connect and network online. So their mission is to connect the world's professionals to accelerate their success. So that's a pretty strong mission statement, and they're doing a pretty good job. But you are kind of limited to the confines of the LinkedIn brand. The next step would be to create your own website or your own blog with your own identity and visual branding. But even if you do have that, lots of people will first go onto your LinkedIn profile. Why? Because as with the case of, the woman who chimed in a little bit ago, her LinkedIn profile came up at the top. Even though she may have entries and results, she may even have her own website and blog, but more often than not, the LinkedIn profile will pop up first. And since people are familiar with LinkedIn and the landscape and the environment, they'll go there. Because why? Because they expect to find your resume, your bio, your summary. They can find recommendations, what other people say about you, which is key, even in buying products. And again, kind of making the link between product and service brands and personal brands. When we buy products, do we just listen to the advertising and the ads and go out and buy the product? No, we ask friends, we ask family, what about the iPhone, or what about a particular product, or, did you like that toothpaste, or what about that restaurant? So we ask other people's recommendations. So it's just with personal brands as well. Those references are read by headhunters, recruiters, partners, investors. So, there is an opportunity. Oh, Mike, Carl has 27 recommendations. Excellent.
Testing them at LinkedIn must have done something to change it so their profile comes up towards.
Yeah, I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
So I'm guessing then that LinkedIn must have done something as they're constantly changing their product. They change something so that their profiles are coming up towards the top when people type in their names.
You mean on Google?
Yeah, because I know a year ago I was on LinkedIn, but when I Googled myself, it did not come up in the top several pages. I didn't even come up at all. I pretty much had no online presence when I typed in my name. My people came up, but they weren't me. They were people that lived in England, people that lived in Germany, but it wasn't me. And now when I type in my name, it's actually the second item is me.
Oh, and it's your LinkedIn profile?
Yeah.
And it's okay. And so this is from now versus a couple years ago.
Yeah, last year. Yeah, last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that could be the fact that, you're saying that you have a similar name with lots of other people, but it could be the fact that you have a LinkedIn profile with your name on it, then that's popping up first over the other people who have the same name because they're not on LinkedIn.
I could offer an explanation. I don't know if it's correct or not. I know one of the tricks when you would post your resume to Yahoo or something like that was to go in there and change something and then resave it so that every time you resaved it, you went to the top of the list. And as people just started putting, their resumes on top of yours, yours got pushed down. So the recruiters would always see the freshest ones there. So it was recommended that you would go in and change it. If you've posted things in LinkedIn, I would think recently, you may be more relevant.
Okay, that's probably it. I've been in it lately. That's probably
it was interesting when I googled my name. My LinkedIn profile didn't come up, but tonight's conference call did. So I can only think that might be how relevant you are at that moment.
Right. Well, on LinkedIn, so every time you make a change on your profile, it could be changing a picture or even making some small change, then your contacts are notified unless you change your settings. So if you don't want your connections to be notified every time you make a little change, then you can save your settings. Or maybe you do. For example, if you post a status update. Let me just go on to my profile. So you have, this blue box is key, and because that's what's seen first. And so you want to make sure that your blue box information there is correct. It's, kind of like when you meet somebody, you make a first impression. A first impression is made, and so you want to be aware of what's in that blue box, and, assume that a lot of people, they're not going to get past that blue box. They might maybe get to your summary. But, you know, the average time spent on resumes, for example, is about 8 to 10 seconds. So you can imagine on a LinkedIn profile, it's probably something about the same. But you have this space up here, well, not only for a picture, but you have there for your name. And for some of you, you know, you can put your the acronym as a project. It's PMP, right? Project
yes.
Manager. Yep. So some of my clients put, you know, the PMP or PhD or, you know, whatever, if there's an acronym, a title that would resonate with your target. And then you can give the industry. And then here's the area where you can post a status update. Perhaps you're going to a conference or speaking at an event, maybe even if you're looking for a candidate or hiring, there's all kinds of things that you can use this status update box for. But it's key to keep it current. You know, I've seen some status updates that are from, you know, 5 months ago. So you want to keep it current or write it in such a way that it doesn't grow old. You know, I mean, I messaged Chinese New Year, which is actually happening this week, but, you know, I might take that down next week. So you have, you know, the blue box, and where you put, you know, education and positions. I recommend having, you know, 5 to 7 recommendations is a good number, and have them across different companies. You know, not just, you know, 5 recommendations from one particular company if you've worked for 5, but, you know, have a nice recommendations from various companies. And then for connections, it's thought that after about maybe 80 connections is when things start to happen in terms of networking possibilities and being connected with your first connections, and, you know, things really start happening after that, because as you get more connections, then things will pop up automatically through the system. Things will pop up where the system will search for people within your network and within your first connections network that are connected with you. So, for example, say you worked for, you know, American Express 10 years ago, and something will pop up that say, oh, you know, you're first degree or second degree connected to this person who could be a former colleague from American Express from 10 years ago. Do you want to invite that person? So really the system is very conducive to and helps you build your network, but you have to, you know, start adding the connections so that the system can do the search. And then you can put your Twitter, if you have it, your websites. And for those of you, just a quick tip, for your public profile link here, you want to, by default, your profile link will have numbers at the end. And you can easily get rid of that just by going into edit mode and clicking on edit, and then you can get rid of those numbers. So you might want to take a quick look at yours, and maybe after the call, you know, take a couple seconds and get rid of the number that might be at the end of your public profile. But here is where storytelling and branding and your online identity all fuses together, and that's in the summary statement. So to kind of address that versus, you know, you have your, well, just to scroll down, you can, of course, post books on using the Amazon application. If you have a blog, you can post your blog postings. They will automatically go to your LinkedIn profile if you choose that setting. And then you have your experience. And then you have your recommendations. And then you have your groups. Is there a group for the, yes?
Do you recommend putting a picture up on that top section? I know you had one in, mm-hmm. but would you say, like, people should absolutely have their picture in?
I think it's an excellent idea. However, it needs to be a professional-looking picture. And you have to consider the space. You know, you're stuck with this little square that's, what, maybe an inch squared. And you know, so you want to have a professional looking picture with not too much in the background. You know, this client I was working with today, she, you know, the background was just too much. I mean, it was it just kind of obliterated her image. So you want to think of the space. This one client I had, he had this picture where, you know, I said, you know, Dave, what about that picture? Because he looked all bundled up, you know. He had a big scarf on, and he just, like, he was at the North Pole. He goes, yeah, well, that was taken on this really great day. I was out on my boat, and, you know, the wind was blowing. I go, yeah, you know, that's, you know, for you, that's what you think of when you look at that picture. But when I look at it, I think, you know, the North Pole, you're all kind of bundled up, and you just don't get it. You don't really understand kind of the story behind the picture. So, but also, you know, it depends on your target. Are you wanting to present yourself professionally on your LinkedIn profile? If so, then I would definitely suggest a professional picture. And in my book, by the way, I cover the whole gamut of, you know, how to choose a photographer, to writing recommendations, to how a strategy to acquire recommendations on LinkedIn, to lots of tips and tools and resources on how to write the story or your bio. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the call, you know, stories are really powerful. And, you know, they're just a really great way to message your brand. So we kind of talked about my definition of what a brand is. Well, it was all those things in addition to stories. Because stories help to message your values, your key attributes, your leadership skills, your emotional intelligence. And on your LinkedIn profile, the summary is the best place to put it. So just a few tips in, you know, in putting together someone's summary, the process that I take people through is over maybe 4, sometimes even 5 sessions. And it's not something that you just want to throw together. But if you want a really well-structured summary or bio with those mini stories, those accomplishment stories, in my book I have a tool that I use. I call it the Visibility Branding Storytelling Tool. And it helps you, you know, come up with those stories that message key skills that are going to resonate with your target. And the content that you develop for your story or your summary can be used in lots of places, not only on your summary, on your LinkedIn profile, but in interview situations. And I'm sure a lot of you have interviewed people, candidates, or you've been interviewed. Well, you know, headhunters or recruiters, they're just begging for stories in the interview process. Well, putting together, you know, using this tool that I mentioned and actually writing down your stories is really helpful and beneficial and can be used in other situations, both online and offline. And, you know, for a lot of you, maybe you've been asked to speak where they've said, oh, can you send in a bio? okay, so that's your story. Or if you're on Twitter, you have, what, 140 characters to message your mini story. But on LinkedIn, you have about 2,000 characters to play with. So this is pretty much 2,000 characters. Let me pull up some other. Here's a, let's see. Here's a client of mine. She's a PMP. Okay. Now her photo should actually be turned the other way. But anyways, so she has 125 connections. And here's her summary, which is pretty much using all 2,000 characters. So in your summary, you can start with, like, a high-level summary statement at the top where you message in a very cumulative fashion your work experience. And then you can, further to that, develop the rest of the summary by picking up on themes or topics mentioned above and then building on that. I'll pull up, let's see, some other ones. This is a client who actually, we found that his name, which was well, his name's David John Aitken, but he was going by just David Aitken, was, a common name. So he decided to incorporate John, which is his middle name, into his name. And so he uses, now he goes by David John Aitken on his business card. And so when people Google him, they will Google David John Aitken, and then the results will pop up that are more just on him than all the other David Aitkens in the world. So he's in job transition. And so in this blue box area, you can put like a little tagline. So for some of you, maybe you're in job transition, so you can't specifically say that you're with a particular organization. So here you can identify, what your profession, maybe give a high-level overview of, the industries, what you're looking for. Okay. And then going down here is where he messages his story. Now, for David, his challenge was that he was in the tobacco industry for about 20 years, but he wants to or is looking for opportunities outside of the tobacco industry. So what we did is, and that's the beauty of the bio, is it doesn't have to be in chronological order. Okay, so you can bring forward what you like. And it's not that you're fabricating information. You're just presenting it differently than as it would be in your resume. Now, everyone knows that the resume has to be chronological, using most recent job position going backwards. But for many, maybe it's your situation. The last job that you had, maybe it was in IT, and that's really not where you want to be. One of my clients wanted to transition into microfinance and fair trade, when in fact his working career was with IBM. However, he'd done a lot of volunteer activities for microfinance and fair trade initiatives, a lot of volunteer projects, a lot of organizing of conferences. And so we talked about that up front in his bio. And in fact, he ended up getting hired by a microfinance institution in Ghana, where he's been for the last couple of years. And so that was because he wasn't just relying on his resume as his marketing document, but on a well-written bio.
Bernadette?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Carl. I have a question, actually, as you're talking about it. It just made me think of something. So the main body of your profile, what's your suggestion or your thought in terms of, like, the voice of how someone speaks of themselves? Because I noticed, like, yours, when I saw it, there it's written more in the third person. You see a lot of profiles of people who use I or me. And so what's your thought in terms of the voice of how that story should be told on the profile?
Yes, that's a good question. Usually bios are written in the third person, so it's as if someone is talking about you.
Yeah.
And I've seen some written in the first person that I've seen very few, actually, that written in the first person that sound okay. Because otherwise, if they're written in the first person, then you have to use I in every, practically every sentence starts with I of the ones that I've seen written in the first person. So it just sounds more professional written in the third person.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there's one, actually, I could pull up one that is written in, let's see, the first person. I think it's Megan's.
Bernadette, we have one person named Marilyn that'd be willing to be a test subject for you.
Okay. Yeah, this is, let me just say, this is one bio written in the first person that reads pretty well. She's a consultant, a coach, so what she does is very one-on-one. And so that's why she chose to write it in the first person, because of the nature of what she does and how she works with clients. So let me put in the name then of this person. Who is it?
Well, I think you can cut and paste. Can you get to the chat section?
Oh.
The meeting dashboard. Yep. And then see Marilyn right there.
Oh, Marilyn Ginsburg. Okay.
Ginsburg, yep. Yeah. So maybe you can cut and paste that.
Not exactly a common name.
Okay. So you go by Ginsburg Finner then?
Yes, I do.
When people want to Google you, that's what they put. Okay. Let's see what comes up. You're out of my network. That doesn't mean that can't change. After this call, I invite you all to join me on LinkedIn since you have my name and I don't have yours. Okay, so here we are, Marilyn Ginsburg Finner, process and QA consultant at NGIT.
So I haven't taken the time to put much on my LinkedIn profile. If you Google me, you come up with about 5,800 hits because I've got my name in a lot of IEEE standards, having been on the Software Engineering Standards Board back in the 90s, plus a lot of things that I've published, articles I've written, presentations I've given.
Yeah, well, that's all good information, but for someone to kind of grasp and understand who you are and what you do, you know, are they going to kind of plow through all of those entries to find out? So
LinkedIn now the gold standard?
Pardon me?
Is LinkedIn now the gold standard?
Yes,
as far as,
most definitely. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's the ideal platform and that there aren't limitations. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that it's just a fact that, you know, if you're on LinkedIn and you're Googled, it's going to pop up near the top. If not at the top, you know, for sure on the first page of your search results. And because people know that there they should be able to find a lot of information about you, then, you know, that's your ideal opportunity. And as I term it, your professional window to the world. So on your profile, you can get rid of these numbers quite easily. So this is what I mean by the numbers at the end. So you want to get rid of all those numbers and letters and just have your name.
So when you're job searching, do you think people pull up your LinkedIn profile solely, or do you think people also as much pull up your Facebook account?
Both. I mean, I talk to headhunters and recruiters all the time, and they look at both. They probably go to LinkedIn first because, you know, that's where they expect to find more professional information. But for sure, your Facebook profile is important as well, and it's important to adjust your settings there to, you know, if you are going to post, you know, more personal pictures. So that's, that's definitely something to consider. Anyone else? Scott, what about you? Did you say you're on LinkedIn, Scott?
Oh, yeah, I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay, and your last name?
Percival, P-E-R-C-I, V as in Victor, A-L.
Bernadette, while you're looking that up, this is Henry Will. When you're done there, I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay. Okay, so there's lots of other Percivals.
Look at that.
Okay, do I see you yet?
No.
Oh, here. No, that's London. Next.
You should be developing your network on LinkedIn for professional growth.
Oh, here we go.
Roger, there I am. Third degree
Project Manager at Smurfit Stone Container in their consumer packaging and display division. Okay. All right. Okay, so here Scott has his summary written in the first person. Okay. I like the way that you have, like, your first sentence is cumulative. You identify, you know, 20 years experience, and you break it down in terms of 10 years management. And then you include the different areas of expertise. I would here put in, if you have some key brand names that you've worked with or for in any sense, I would put any brand names that would resonate with your target in this first paragraph. And then you talk about your interpersonal skills. Here's a great opportunity to show some proof of performance and weave a story around, you know, these interpersonal skills, these emotional intelligence skills, you know, team player, proven ability. Well, okay, what does that mean? You know, can you weave a story around that? And this tool that I mentioned is really helpful to just kind of lay out the structure. Also, in your summary, you can add quotes, integrate quotes, testimonials, your personal social responsibility. I'm sure a lot of you volunteer or, in some way to, a social cause. Could be around the environment or social or cultural. For a lot of people, that's a huge part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so there was a question from somebody. There's a gentleman that wanted to ask a question.
Yes, this is Henry Will. I was wondering if you wanted to try Googling me. The problem that I have is my name is Henry Will, and it picks up the word Will. So you'll find there's people whose last name is Henry, and the next word in the sentence is Will. Try it, and you'll see what I mean.
Okay. Yeah, it looks, so your LinkedIn popped up second when I Googled you, when I put your name in quotations.
Right, and that's pretty good. And sometimes if you want to get a better hit, I mean, you'll see that my website is down there where it says Henry Will 4 is my blog. But you can
see
there's there's Harry Will, Harry Henry will play no part in the World Cup. So what I've been doing is I've been trying to have people use my full name, which is Henry Will IV. There's an IV after my name because I'm a fourth. But there's no way to tell for sure that somebody's going to Google you that way,
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to change your name like that or add something, then it's over time that people will get it. But you have to be consistent, and if you're going to use I4 or, the IV, to make sure that it's on all of your documentation, your business card, your signature, that people, start to know you as, Henry Will the Fourth. But actually, there's a new tool that just came out. Quickly, for people who have problems with either identity in terms of sharing their identity and the same name with other people, there's a new tool that just came out, which happens to have a very similar name to my company, but it's called Visibility, but spelled with a Z or a Z instead of an S. And it's a little tool like a button that you can put on your signature, on your LinkedIn profile. And what you do is when people click on that, they will only see entries, or Google entries, that you have designated that refer to you. So if your name's, John Smith, you go through this tool, you first set up your visibility button, and you select the Google entries that have to do with you, the John Smith, and not all of the others. So that's really a great way for people who have this problem of sharing the same name with other people.
And also,
more and more technology is helping us to overcome these challenges.
Yeah, you also mentioned that somebody's profile there was facing one way, and you said it should be facing the other. What was the reasoning behind that?
Okay, yes. Because for the picture, you want to... Let me go back. Well, let's go here. You want the picture to be looking to, Henry's here. It's looking at us or looking in the center of the page, whereas the picture I showed you previously, she was looking off the page. If she just turns it on, and I'd mentioned it to her, if she just makes the picture, turns it so she's looking towards the middle, it would make a big difference. So we have Henry's picture. I would suggest Henry just kind of fooling around with the cropping and getting the top of your head in your picture. do you see that, Henry?
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I did that on purpose, and I'll tell you why. One of the places that I am involved online that has upwards of 200,000 people, the people that you recognize most are the ones where there's something different about their picture, and usually you'll find it's because they did what I did here, which is to crop it a little bit closer so that it just sticks out from all the others. So I tend to use that as a little gimmick. Again, it's part of branding, I think.
Uh-huh. Okay.
To give you the
Pardon me?
Like, from a woman's perspective, though, I think you look at that and be like, oh, is he a man that's losing his hair and having issues with that? So he's, like, cropping it. Cause I know guys that actually do that and have done that in their Facebook pictures and their LinkedIn pictures.
Oh, really? Oh, that's funny. Well, either way, I guess it's standing out, which is what Henry wanted to do, is to make his picture look different. But just referring to his summary, now here is a summary where, you know, really there's no storied content here. It looks like, and I see this a lot with summary statements, where it looks like a cut and paste from the resume. And so you have, you know, the area for your resume under the experience section. So in the summary is really, you know, the ideal place to craft a story that is more digestible and readable. Okay. So here it's, you know, it's information that is kind of presented as, you know, a bit of a laundry list. Anyone else? I can pull up your profile.
Yeah, this is Venkat Chokla. If you look in the chat session, I have given my name. You can pull it up from there.
Okay.
Venkat, next to that, I have given my full name. If you go into the chat session where I have given my name.
Oh, Venkat?
Yeah, Venkat Chavakula.
Down below.
Oh, down below?
Yeah, in that chat session in there, probably.
Yeah, it's there in there. No, not there. In the chat session.
Oh, chat, okay. And then we go.
Yeah.
Oh, here we
go. There you go.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Yeah, so let's see. Chavakula. Oh, my name. Oh, I like your, instead of a picture, you have, like, that's interesting. I like that. Now, that stands out. Instead of a picture, is that your logo?
Yeah, that's my logo.
Oh, nice. Now, what is this check next to your name?
That's a kind of checkbox where that people, it's standing out in the crowd.
Okay, but I mean, how did you get that on your profile?
It's cut and paste from Word document.
Really? Okay. Well, I just learned something new. I didn't know that you could do that. Interesting. Okay, so you're a managing consultant at Zanit. So I'm assuming that logo is the Zanit logo.
No, it is not Zanit logo. It is my logo.
Oh, okay.
It is connecting the pieces. My job is to get everybody on the same page in the project. I'm a managing consultant and also an SME in PeopleSoft. I'm an ERP consultant.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I like the explanation of your logo, which is something that you could message in your, you know, summary in your story, in your bio. So let's see, you have 29 connections, that's good. You got rid of the numbers on your LinkedIn profile. You have 6 recommendations, that's good. Okay, and you have your education. You're on Twitter. And let's see, so here is your summary.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, so you wrote it in the first person. I might suggest writing in the third person. And as you can see, I mean, just visually, and, you know, like I said, when you meet people, the visual impression is important. Well, visually, also, you know, look critically at your resume or your LinkedIn profile. Here I see, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, are those paragraphs? Or I would suggest weaving your information into, say, 3 or 4 paragraphs that, you know, make it a story.
Okay.
So these are one paragraph. Yeah, in fact, some of them aren't even complete sentences. Yeah, so I mean, you would be an ideal candidate, if you wanted to work together, I could help help you to craft your summary. I love doing makeovers of LinkedIn profiles.
I'll be in touch with you on that.
Pardon me?
I'll definitely be in touch with you.
Yeah, that'd be great. And
help me out. It will be great.
Yes, I'd love to. Let's see. And then you're going down to your seeking. Okay, so what's good here? Seeking next challenge. I like the way you incorporated these little these little characters into your LinkedIn profile. What's key in your summary as well is to weave in your what I call your CTA or your call to action, so that when your target, when people land on your profile and read your summary, it's clear what is it that you're looking for, or do you just want to be on LinkedIn to be visible? And that's okay too. Maybe you don't have a call to action. Maybe you just want to be on LinkedIn, you know, to be there so that you can network and get connected with other people. But if you do have a call to action, if you're looking for opportunities, if you're in career transition, if you're looking for partners or clients, you make it obvious.
So, Bernadette,
yes?
How do you do that if you currently have a job and you're linked to people who work at the company you work at and you don't want to, like, publicize at your company that you're looking for a job?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Yes,
so
you
want to... I just kept it on... Seeking next challenge, and it is there forever. And
uh-huh.
People who are interested, who are looking at that, they may call me. And if I'm interested, I'll get connected through this.
Uh huh.
This is a small message. It's there forever.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So you've kind of put it here down at the bottom. Now there's ways of weaving that in using, you know, finessing that into your bio, and you know, I love working with words, and I love writing. For a lot of people, that's, you know, a big challenge. In fact, a lot of coaches actually, you know, they'll work with people, help them, you know, figure out their, you know, what makes them unique, what their vision is, and what their key attributes are, and all that. But when it comes to actually putting pen to paper, they pass them on to me, or even I have outplacement firms who hand over their clients to me when it comes to the writing stage, because for a lot of people that's the most difficult part. But there are ways to message, to address your question. You know, there's words, you know, it could be something very vague, but at least it puts it out there, that you're looking for opportunities in, or you're, you know, you love challenges, particularly in this area. So you can kind of give that an indication, so you don't, because you are aware that it's public and you don't want your necessarily your boss looking at your LinkedIn profile where it says, you know, I'm looking to get the heck out of here. But there are ways of putting that message out there. But at the very least, you can present your skills and qualifications, and you can send people to your LinkedIn profile. In fact, the C-level client that I showed earlier, he, like I said, he's in career transition. He uses his LinkedIn profile link here on his business cards, and on his resume. Here's another client. She's actually the alumni president at USC. She happens to live here in France. But anyways, she's in the entertainment industry, and she is creating her own company, but we're working with on her website and branding and logo and everything, but it's not quite up yet. And so in the meantime, she's using her LinkedIn profile as her calling card. And here she has a, you know, nicely written summary statement. And because, you know, she's going to trade shows, conferences, and so she needs something. And also it's kind of helping her figure out her range of services, because she has like 3 or 4 different areas that she can cover. So, you know, before putting all this on her website, she's kind of using her summary as her calling card. And also it's kind of giving her a bit of a lag time to more clearly define which of her services she's going to use in a more expansive way. So here she was weaved in some of her leadership skills, her, you know, the fact that she's a team leader, she's tenacious, she identifies the brand names that are going to resonate, you know, Lucasfilms, Mattel. And I liked ending a summary with something a little personal. Now, it could be a quote, one of your favorite quotes, a quote from someone you admire. Pardon me? I think there was somebody was asking a question, but I couldn't quite hear it.
One quick question. As far as looking at her LinkedIn profile, in that first paragraph, she has exploitation and then children, like in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of bad?
Oh.
And the
Yeah, I mean, it refers to digital media rights exploitation.
I know, but as far as like that connotation together, if it matters which way your picture points, shouldn't that those two words sort of close together matter as well?
Oh, it's interesting you brought that up because I'll have to tell her about that. Because, I mean, we could easily just, you know, put digital media rights exploitation before.
Yeah, you can put children first or just something else as far as just the wording.
That's interesting. It's always interesting to get feedback. thank you for that. I'll let her know. But, yeah, so she's around children's entertainment. So the exploitation word refers to...
I have one question then.
Yeah.
If I may, so what's the lesson learned there? I mean, the lesson learned there is that you have, you know, everybody can be your board of directors, and you need people to look at, you know, your profiles and see what they like about it and what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. You're not in it alone.
Yes, I definitely recommend having other people that know you, to read your summary or I call it get a bio buddy and, you know, have other people read your summary, your bio, your story, and, you know, get feedback. I mean, feedback is key. So, are there any other questions? I mean, basically, I just wanted to drive home the idea, the fact that, you know, this summary is really key and is a great place to message your story. And as I mentioned, stories are more digestible, more readable. And plus, you know, like I said, it's a great place to message in your leadership skills, your emotional intelligence skills, your passions, your values, your PSR, your personal social responsibility, you know, as well as your hard skills as well.
Well, I think a story is probably more memorable also.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that's important, I mean, you know, I participate in a lot of networking groups, and, you know, what does Henry Will do? You know, I know he's at IBM, but specifically, what do I know? If I read his story, it might resonate better with, you know, myself, that if I needed to recommend him for something, I could say, oh, yeah, Henry's done this, and blah, blah, blah. What does Venkat do? What does Scott do? What does Bernadette do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, for Henry and I, we met virtually on a webinar I did for IBM where there were about 250 people attending, and I actually did four makeovers. One of them was Paula here. This is Paula, who was program manager at IBM. And so before the call, she hasn't changed her number, her profile yet. She still has her numbers. But before the call, her profile was basically non-existent. Well, she did have some recommendations, which I read her recommendations, and they were just amazing. I mean, these people were just, you know, writing these great things about Paula, but yet her summary was like maybe one line. So I worked with her over a series of four or five sessions, and this is the summary that we came up with. So this is the after that was featured on this webinar, and I worked with three other people as well and during their makeovers. So Paula, she's has an HR function, and she's considers herself and apparently is considered as kind of the atypical IBMer. She's very creative and an advocate of the arts. And anyway, so we really brought that out. Her brand really comes out in her profile. So this is she talks about her, not only her hard skills, but also her EQ skills as well.
So, Bernadette, where can people get your book at?
Yes, it's on Amazon, and if you do buy it, I would be happy to send you the ebook, and also I have a 30-page workbook that I came up with as well. And how many people are actually on the call?
I know at one time we were up to 12 or 13. Now there's 8, I guess.
Okay. I'd be happy to offer you an assessment of your LinkedIn profile if you want to connect with me, and I can give you kind of a very high-level assessment of your current LinkedIn profile. And, you know, of course, I'd be happy to work together with any of you. I work virtually with clients. I use a screen sharing platform so that, you know, we can view and work on documents together. We can also use webcam as well. But I work one-on-one virtually, also, you know, with groups as well. But, I can offer you a quick high-level assessment. Other options are, you know, based on the assessment, I can have a couple options where, you know, say a 1.5-hour session, I could give you lots of direction and pointers on your LinkedIn profile, which you can take and go through and do it yourself if you're a DIYer. Or the other package I have is where over a series of, say, 4 to 5 sessions, we craft your bio for your, not only for your LinkedIn summary, but we'll be creating other additional content that can be used for other versions of your bio depending on the target placement and usage. And that would include my book, the ebook, the workbook, and then also 4 sessions. And it's a collaborative process. I can, you know, write people's bios from scratch, but that's a different price range. So the more collaborative process, which I feel works better anyways, is where, you know, drafts go back and forth. The first session is basically an interview, and I get an understanding and absorb your personal brand. And then we identify the structure of the bio, key elements. And then the first draft, it's usually the client that writes the first draft, only because it'll be in your voice. And then based on that, it kind of starts to go back and forth. And, you know, of course, every session I'm taking copious notes, and so I will integrate and suggest what to include. And then I do the fine-tuning at the very end.
And what's the best way for people to get in touch with you? Is it by email or connecting with you on LinkedIn at first?
Both. Okay, so my site is visibilitybranding.com. My email is bmartin, B for Bernadette, Martin is my last name, at visibilitybranding.com. Through LinkedIn, we can definitely connect on LinkedIn, which means that you'll be connected to my 500-plus connections. All of those, you can send me an email, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, great.
Bernadette?
Yes?
Do you do career coaching as well?
Yes, I do. So I do take people through the whole process in terms of personal branding and career transition. And, you know, what I covered today was more the concrete, physical, tangible, you know, writing that I covered today. But I'm certified as a personal brand strategist, and, you know, I give workshops and seminars at various universities and associations. But, yes, I do career coaching as well.
No point.
Any other questions before we wrap up? I know we ran a little later, but we started a little later, and I thank you so much, Bernadette, for spending time with us and this really, really excellent topic that we covered this evening. Any other questions?
You're welcome.
A general question about personal branding. Do you advise creating your own business cards, even if you're employed elsewhere?
Yes.
For purposes of personal branding, and what kind of content would you put on that?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. In fact, in my book, I have a case study, two case studies actually, of two people exactly in that situation where they are employed, but they want to have their own branding. Here, I can pull up Fabio. So Fabio's a C-level executive with an international company. But working together, we actually created his own website with his own branding. The other example in my book is Simone. Her LinkedIn profile actually is linked to her, or she messages more her company, but she has, you know, we created her own visual branding. We didn't go so far as a logo, but we did create a website, a template, because she's in communications, and she's, you know, looking for kind of speaking gigs outside of her company. So we came up with her her own visual branding, which, let's see, I could pull up quickly, I think. So I work with three or four designers that are kind of located around the world, depending on the need. And to come up, to help people discover their visual brand, their visual identity. I don't know if this will pop up. This, I have kind of a lot of windows open, but I was just going to show you Simone's, the visual branding that we came up with for in her situation. Okay, so here's, actually for Simone, here's Simone. Okay. So this is Simone, and she came to me, well, actually, I was trying to put her in touch with another person for networking purposes, and this was her bio that she had previously, which, you know, the picture wasn't very good, the content, I mean, she hadn't even started her first paragraph with her name. Lots of things. So I said, Simone, do you want to be the makeover for my book? So she laughed and said yes. So this is what we came up with for Simone. We actually created her own kind of standalone document that is a bio, but also a kind of a static website with this branding. And then we also created her business cards and like a template for her presentations.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
I have one question. My name is Laura. I'm not technically on the, I'm sitting with Marilyn. But I am in publishing in New York, and we're in the middle of a brand transition. Do you recommend rolling it out all at once or in stages?
So for your company?
Yes.
So you're rebranding your company?
Yeah. Well, they've already developed the branding, and we're in the process of implementing it across all of our platforms. We do books and the website and various things. But do you recommend like a launch date of everything should be branded according to this date, or sort of roll it out as possible?
Yeah, I mean, you know, logistically, I would recommend having it as, you know, everything come out at the same time, if that's possible. I mean, sometimes logistically that's doesn't happen. I mean, you know, because, I mean, it sounds like you're talking about letterhead and, you know, across all platforms. I actually worked with a startup in Seattle where they had their original branding, and then about a year later they realized that it had to be changed. And so I was actually part of developing the new branding. And that was, you know, a huge project. And we tried to do it all at once as much as possible, but, you know, it had already been integrated across so many different platforms and media that, you know, wasn't always possible to have it, you know, on everything change on the same date. But ideally, for impact purposes, it would have more effect if everything happened at the same time or as close to the same date as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my background before working with personal brands was about 15 years working with corporate and product brands such as Procter & Gamble, DHL, American Express. So now applying the same, you know, tools and methodologies to people brands makes total sense for me. And so I love what I do. Before, I was working with, you know, disposable diapers and traveler's checks and beer products, and now I work with people.
Well, Bernadette, I have to echo Carl's sentiments. I think you did a fantastic job. You have a very relaxing tenor to your voice and very comforting and welcoming, and I think you did an excellent job, and everything that you told us was very, very, very informative.
Well, thank you.
Yes. And I guess with that, I mean, you've been very generous with your time, but I think with that, I'd like to say good night and to everybody on the call. And I guess before I do, maybe one last time you want to put out your contact information. Remember, a lot of the hits we get, we have people from all over the world. So a lot of the hits that we get are from, you know, iTunes or podcast downloads. So it's very possible that somebody 6 months from now might be listening. You know, maybe somebody that's new in transition is just going through all the podcasts that we have. You know, they may contact you 6 months from now. You never know. So I don't know if Henry's still on the call, but do you have any idea what the count is on downloads? I think it's well over 100,000 downloads of some of our podcasts. So if you would share that, and afterwards I'll...
Okay, yes. Well, again, my contact information is bmartin@visibilitybranding.com, and then my company site is visibilitybranding.com, and I'm on LinkedIn under Bernadette Martin. So I'd be happy to connect with you on LinkedIn, and like I said, offer you a complimentary assessment of your LinkedIn profile. And I'd love to help craft the story about the brand called you. And thanks for inviting me on the call.
Thank you. Excellent way to end it. Carl, any last words?
Thank you. Thank you so much again for spending time with us. Look forward to maybe having you back on a future call, Bernadette. Thank you.
Okay. Sounds good. All right.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy. Have a nice, safe night.
All right. Au revoir. Ciao.
Au revoir. Bye-bye.
This has been a PM Lessons Learned podcast. Project Managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Come join our group. Visit our website at pmlessonslearned.com. Till next time, keep on learning.